Good afternoon, and thank you for that introduction. My name is Lindsay Hoffman, and today I'll be presenting on a project that was conducted as part of my postdoctoral research work at the University of Minnesota. And at the university, I was part of the turf grass breeding program, and one of the major constraints or bottlenecks in that program is selecting germplasm for utilizing and developing new cultivars. And this bottleneck is mainly associated with the two methods that are currently used for screening and selecting germplasm, which includes field screening at several locations over several years, and this can be complicated by the unpredictability of weather from one year to the next. Alternatively, screening can be conducted in greenhouses or controlled environment growth chambers, but this is also time-consuming and cumbersome due to the large amount of plant material that's required. Lastly, another problem can be that selecting for quantitative traits such as freezing tolerance can be problematic when you're just basing that off of phenotyping. So, consequently, additional techniques or tools need to be developed that can be incorporated and utilized in order to streamline and expedite this process. And recently, marker-assisted selection using metabolomics has been identified as one of those potential techniques. And basically, what the process of metabolomics allows us to do is develop metabolite profiles from one plant extract and then use those profiles to establish biomarkers that we can then select for specific traits that we are interested in. So this led us to asking as to whether we could use metabolomics as a tool to screen and select germplasm of cool season turf grass species. And specifically at the University of Minnesota, we were interested in selecting novel perennial ryegrass germplasm that exhibited improved winter hardiness. So this picture was taken in the spring of 2012 at the University of Minnesota turf field research site. And as you can see, in comparison to Kentucky bluegrass, which has minimal damage, perennial ryegrass suffered extreme winter injury and is now dead. So, and this happens on a yearly basis. And so we know that a major component of turf grass winter hardiness is tolerance to temperatures at or below freezing. So we were really interested in identifying germplasm that had improved freezing tolerance and then consequently better overall winter hardiness. So we really went ahead and wanted to explore this method based on previous research that I conducted as part of my dissertation work at the University of Massachusetts, where we saw that differences in freezing tolerance among certain accessions of perennial ryegrass was associated with the accumulation of individual metabolites. And so for this research that I conducted, I was just measuring individual metabolites. We did not have the ability to take a look at the entire metabolome of these plants. So with this, knowing this information and looking to expedite the screening process, we developed our objective, which was to determine whether we could utilize metabolomics as an additional technique to expedite the process of screening and selecting specifically perennial ryegrass germplasm with improved freezing tolerance and better overall winter hardiness. And in addition, conducting this research would give us insight as to whether this tool could be implemented into breeding programs for multiple uses for selecting germplasm. For this study, our plant material consisted of two freezing-tolerant perennial ryegrass accessions, which we generically named Tolerant 1 and Tolerant 2, or Tall 1, Tall 2, and two freezing-susceptible accessions, SUS 1 and SUS 2. And these were obtained from the USDA Germplasm Resource Information Network. And for each of the accessions, we were utilizing four individual genotypes. The plant materials were established from seed, and they were maintained in a greenhouse under optimal conditions for 6 months. And during that six-month period, we were propagating the plants in order to obtain enough material to conduct this analysis. Following that six-month period, we transferred plants to a controlled environment growth chamber for treatment initiation. And our treatments consisted of three different temperature regimes. So we exposed certain plants to 2015, which is a non-cold acclimating temperature. Subsequent set of plants were exposed to 2015, followed by exposure to 2 degrees Celsius to induce cold acclimation. And then the last set of plants were exposed to 2015, followed by 2, and then minus 2. And that minus 2 sub-zero acclimation has been shown to lead to further increases in freezing tolerance. So we really wanted to see, explore the differences that are happening at each of these temperature treatments. The plants were held at 2 weeks at each of those temperatures, and at 20 and 2, they were held on a 10-hour photo period and a photosynthetic flux density of 300, and then the sub-zero acclimation was conducted in the dark. So following each of those cold treatments at the end of each of those 2-week temperature regimes, We harvested whole plants for freezing tolerance determination. So whole plants were frozen or subjected to controlled freezing tests from temperatures ranging from minus 21 degrees Celsius. Following the freeze test, they were moved to a greenhouse. They were allowed to survive for 4 weeks, and then survival was rated. And then those survival ratings were used to determine the lethal temperature at which 50% of the plants were killed. In addition, following each of those two-week acclimation temperatures, we harvested leaf material for an untargeted analysis. So untargeted meaning we wanted to look to quantify or identify as many metabolites as possible from that plant extract. And we did this using reverse phase ultra-performance liquid chromatography coupled to mass spectrometry. And so specifically, we were looking to identify as many secondary metabolites as we could possibly identify and then determine which of those could potentially be used as metabolic biomarkers. So this experiment was arranged as a completely randomized design with four accessions, four genotypes, and three temperature treatments. The freezing tolerance data was subjected to analysis of variance, and the means were separated using Fisher's least significant difference test at the 0.05 level. The metabolite profiles were subjected to chromatogram alignment, background noise subtraction using gene data refiner, and they were subjected to further analysis using gene data analyst. We also wanted to visualize the separation that was occurring among those accessions due to differences in their metabolic profiles, and so we utilized partial least squares discriminant analysis to do that, to visualize the separation. So now moving into the results and discussion, this first piece of data that we're looking at is the freezing tolerance data. On the x-axis, you have the acclimation treatments of 22 and minus 2 degrees Celsius. On the y, you have the lethal temperature at which the plants were killed. And so the important thing to note is as the temperature becomes more negative, that means that freezing tolerance is increasing. Within the graph, you have the susceptible 1 and susceptible 2, and tolerant 1 and tolerant 2. So when we actually looked at the data, we saw that all four genotypes within each accession were not statistically different, so we are looking at the pooled data of those genotypes for each of the accessions. So if we look at the overall trend, you'll see that as the plants were exposed to cold acclimation, that their freezing tolerance did increase, which was a response that we expected from the plants. But if we look at the actual ranking of the plants at each temperature, you'll notice that the tolerant 1 and 2 accessions had better freezing tolerance in comparison to the susceptible at each acclimation temperature. So this was really a confirmation for us that we were detecting differences in freezing tolerance and then that we could go forward and develop those metabolic profiles utilizing these accessions. So this is an output from our LC analysis. This is a chromatogram that we would get from one plant extract. On the y-axis, you have relative abundance. And on the x-axis, and specifically, just to go back, we're looking at the profile developed for the accession tolerant 1 at 2 degrees Celsius. And so at the bottom on the y-axis, I know this is difficult to read, but what you're looking at is time. So specifically, we're looking at the retention time, meaning that we're looking at the time at the when the machine actually detected which metabolite was present. And so each of these peaks that you're looking at in the chromatogram is representative of one or multiple metabolites that has a retention time. And this is ranging from 0 to 30 minutes, which was the length of our total runtime for this. And so this retention time is just one piece of information that we utilize to identify a specific metabolic biomarker. This is a similar output, but this is from the mass spectrometer. Again, you're looking at relative abundance on the y-axis, but now on the x-axis, you're looking at the mass-to-charge ratio. And again, this mass-to-charge ratio is specific to an individual metabolite, and it's used as an identifier for us to figure out what biomarker that is that we could potentially use and compare that from freezing tolerant to freezing susceptible accessions. As I mentioned before, we wanted to just visualize how the separation was occurring among these accessions, and we used partial least squares discriminant analysis to do that. And basically just wanted to note that you can see that the tolerant 1 and tolerant 2 accessions are clustering together over here with the tolerant pooled sample, and that was basically a control for us. And the susceptible accessions are pooling together. So we are seeing separation based on the metabolic differences within each of those accessions. So based on the LC and the MS analysis, we were able to detect specific metabolic biomarkers that were either unique or abundant to the freezing tolerant accessions. So this is an example of an output that we would get from gene data analysts. And what we're looking at is a biomarker that has a retention time of 7.49 and an M over Z value of 434.22. And you can see that each of the acclimation temperatures at 22 and minus 2, it's more abundant in the tolerant accessions compared to susceptible 2, and it's actually unique in comparison to susceptible 1. So we did not detect this metabolite in susceptible 1. So when we went through all of the data, all of the metabolic profiles that we established using gene data analysts, we found that there were 10 metabolites that were either more abundant in or unique to the freezing tolerant accessions. And this was based on their retention times and M over Z values. We then wanted to confirm that we were going to be able to detect these metabolites in an additional set of perennial ryegrass plants. So we conducted a confirmation study utilizing 6 freezing tolerant lines as well as 6 freezing susceptible lines or cultivars. And again, we were able to confirm that the metabolites were either unique or more abundant in those freezing tolerant lines or cultivars in comparison to the freezing susceptible. So just to summarize what we saw altogether, we did see that the accessions we selected to develop our initial metabolic profiles were more freezing tolerant at each of the cold acclimation treatments that we subjected them to. So from there, we went on and developed metabolic profiles, and then we were able to detect that there were 10 metabolic biomarkers that were unique or more abundant in those freezing tolerant accessions. And then we also confirmed them in an additional set of perennial ryegrass plants that were subjected to the same treatments. So altogether, this research shows us that we can use metabolomics as a tool to expedite the process of screening and selecting germplasm, in addition to both field evaluations and controlled environment chambers. And so this is going to allow for traits to be incorporated into new cultivars at a faster rate with the development and release of those cultivars quicker than what's happening now. So broader impacts of this research may include the fact that the biomarkers we detected may be able to be used to screen additional germplasm in turf grasses that are susceptible to winter injury. So utilizing those 10 or a subset of those 10 to select novel germplasm with improved winter hardiness. And some of the markers that we selected may also be used to identify additional traits. So there was a PhD student working in the turfgrass breeding lab, and he was interested in identifying perennial ryegrass germplasm that had improved resistance to crown rust. And what we found was that there were several biomarkers that were the same in rust-resistant material as well as freezing-tolerant material. And so what this means is that metabolomics may be able to use to screen for multiple traits at the same time, thereby, again, expediting the whole process of germplasm selection. Future research includes screening perennial ryegrass for additional biomarkers for different traits, such as heat tolerance or drought tolerance. In addition, as part of this research, I did not identify what the 10 metabolic biomarkers were based on their retention times and M over Z values, so that's something that's going to be completing using authentic standards as well as MSMS. And then lastly, one of the most important things to make this a feasible tool is that it needs to be optimized to make it as high throughput as possible as well as cost efficient. So some work has started being done trying to minimize the runtime from 30 minutes down to 15 or 10 minutes, so thereby expediting the process. And then also maybe moving it over to a platform that's a little less sensitive than the UPLC in order to make it more cost efficient. So with that, I'd like to thank the Hegeman Lab, which is where I conducted this metabolic analysis, and specifically Mr. Stephen Brockman, who was instrumental in getting me accustomed to the machinery and the software, as well as my funding source, which was the Minnesota Agricultural Experiment Station Variety Development Fund. So with that, if there's any time left, I'd be willing to take questions.
One quick question.
Yes.
Do you have any feeling for whether these biomarkers are specific to Rolium or whether they might also show up with the same potential function in other species?
So the question was whether I think that these biomarkers are specific to Rolium or whether they may be detected in other species.
With the same potential value.
With the same potential value. I don't have a great feel, but I would imagine that based on the overlap that we're seeing in traits, so the specific metabolic biomarkers may be applicable to multiple traits, that there is potential that the biomarkers we selected may be detected in other plant materials that can be selected for either freezing tolerance or rust resistance. So, thank you.
Next, thank our speaker.